This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Google agrees copyright terms with French newspapers. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning, great to be with you. French publishers have said they have finally come to an agreement with Google over copyright fees. New rules in Europe mean that publishers can demand payment from search engines that show extracts of their stories. After months of bargaining, Google has agreed some terms and conditions with two publications, the Le Monde and Le Figaro newspapers. The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris explained to me that the publishing industry is in desperate need of cash at the moment.
Newspapers feel that they're losing huge amounts of revenue because Google is concentrating all the clicks, they're getting all the advertising, and though they might be referring people on to the newspapers aren't getting anything like what they used to in the old dispensation when Google didn't have this massive monopoly. There was a big development in 2019 when the European Union redefined the notion of copyright. It developed this notion of what they call related rights and established the principle that newspapers, not individual journalists, but newspapers could claim from online platforms some money back. But what the French newspapers were saying was that that development had been not followed except in the strictest letter by Google, because they were finding that their articles on Google were getting absolutely no profile at all, because Google was saying we will only push and promote articles and publishers who agreed not to be paid. So this is a big advance.
Do you think the motivation behind pursuing this case against Google is financial, or is there sort of a sense of principle there as well?
It is a massive question of principle. It's also a question of money, of course, because Le Monde and all these titles say they're losing vast amounts of money, which they would otherwise be getting from advertising and subscriptions and so on. Google, quite separately, is pursuing deals with newspapers around the world. It's about to set up, or has set up, a new tab in its news search page to push newspapers with which it has deals. I'm sure if you ask Google, they'd say, we're not against paying newspapers, but we want to do it in our way. We don't particularly want to do it under the aegis of this European directive.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's take a quick look at the markets. In India, the S&P BSE Sensex crossed the 50,000 landmark for the first time, hitting a new record. The pandemic has been a somewhat body blow to the airline business. Norwegian Air, the once promising budget carrier, had to file for bankruptcy despite slimming down and cutting jobs. It was hoping for some money from its government, but that has been an unsuccessful route until now. The BBC's Theo Leggett reports.
Norwegian was once an ambitious, fast-growing airline which attempted to combine rapid expansion in Europe with an audacious plan to disrupt the transatlantic market by offering low-cost services to the United States and South America. But even before the COVID crisis, it was struggling under heavy debts and rarely able to make a profit. Nowadays, most of its planes are grounded due to the pandemic, and it's currently operating just a handful of daily services in Northern Europe. It's decided to give up on the long-haul market altogether and go back to its roots as a short-haul budget carrier. But simply to survive, it needs to raise between $400,000 and $600,000 and reduce its debts. The Norwegian government has now agreed to provide new loans to support the business, although it's not yet clear how much money it's offering. I'm the BBC's Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
For a small country of almost 5 million, Ireland demonstrates a considerable influence in business and politics. Its finance minister is the current president of the Eurogroup of Ministers. It holds one of the temporary seats on the UN Security Council, and its prime minister gets an invite to the White House on St. Patrick's Day, thanks in part to its so-called soft power. So how have they done it? The BBC's Stephen Ryan has that story.
Ireland faced off stiff competition to take up a rotating seat on the UN Security Council for the next 2 years. Canada brought Celine Dion tickets, the Irish brought Ambassadors to U2 gigs, a sing-song in a County Cork pub, and even to Riverdance on Broadway. They used soft power. When an organisation, individual or country has
a level of influence that transcends the obvious economic and measurable values, such as power, size of army, level of population.
Tony Foley is an emeritus associate professor in economics at Dublin City University. Ireland's so-called soft power, he says, can be traced back to mass emigration during the potato famine in the 1840s.
At the moment in the United States, about 35 million people identify themselves as of Irish descent.
Even President Biden nods to the diaspora.
For Secretary of Labor, I nominated a good friend and a stand-up guy, Marty Walsh of Boston, son of Irish immigrants from his only downside. They're not from Mayo, they're from Galway.
As Tony Foley explains, immigrants can have a considerable economic impact through attracting foreign direct investment and tourists.
We get about 10 million tourists a year, about 6 million from areas other than the United Kingdom. Obviously, if they have a satisfactory experience, they build up a pleasant image of Ireland. Of course, over several years, that's bigger and bigger numbers with a positive attitude.
Beyond tourism, companies like Facebook, Twitter and Google were drawn to Ireland by a skilled and educated workforce and a corporation tax rate of 12.5%, one of the lowest in the European Union. There are things business leaders want to promote when they fly out ahead of the St. Patrick's Day celebrations each year.
In fact, it was the very last physical trip I made last year. I returned from Washington just as things were closing down.
Danny McCoy, CEO of IBEC, the Irish Business and Employers Confederation, is confident that he can maintain relationships even at a distance.
Very few places on earth would have experienced a 100% increase in their GDP in 6 years. And even during COVID, when you look at the presence of US foreign direct investment, we're probably going to see the Irish economy in GDP terms won't have actually declined in 2020, despite COVID.
And optimistic the Biden administration will take a more collaborative approach to international trade, something he hopes Ireland can be part of too, maybe even with a virtual pint for now. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
I love a bit of river dance in the morning in London. I'm Vishala Sripathma with a Marketplace morning report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.